This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
I think the key is, I know for me, you feel very, like I felt very silent and very scared that I couldn't, nobody's going to believe me, like it's my fault. And I think the best thing to combat abuse and addiction and all these scary things is conversation and open conversation. And, you know, whether it's the right word, I don't think that there is a right or a wrong conversation really around these things, as long as it's an open conversation, because a lot comes out of that. And I think that I encourage that sort of stuff for youth. It's just this open communication, and not and the biggest thing is to believe when someone, kids. I think the average amount is kids have to tell seven different people before they're believed, right? And that's too many people, like, before there's action taken. So for me, it's if somebody's talking about some situation in their life, I think we need to take that more serious than we do, because most of the time it may not be straight out, hey, guess what happened to me. It may be more subtle. So I think we have to pay more attention to those things and actually take those things a little bit more serious, do a little more investigation on them, and I think be surprised at what we'd find.
That clip was from an interview with Sheldon Kennedy, posted on the web by the Mind Your Mind Youth Initiative. Sheldon Kennedy, a former NHL hockey player, was in his early years coached by Graham James, a highly respected and nationally famous coach. Sheldon was a junior-level hockey player in Winnipeg, and then during the late 1980s on the Swift Current Broncos and Canada's Western Hockey League. Between the ages of 14 and 19, Sheldon Kennedy was sexually abused by Graham James. Sheldon wrote a book about his ordeal, which is called Why I Didn't Say Anything. Sheldon Kennedy has also been open about his struggles with addiction since that time.
Child sexual abuse occurs when a child is used for sexual purposes by an adult or adolescent. It involves exposing a child to any sexual activity or behavior. Sexual abuse most often involves fondling and may include inviting a child to touch or be touched sexually.
Other forms of sexual abuse include sexual intercourse, juvenile prostitution, and sexual exploitation. Sexual abuse is inherently emotionally abusive and is often accompanied by other forms of mistreatment. It is a betrayal of trust and an abuse of power over the child.
The city of Nanaimo has proclaimed November 16th to 21st, Nanaimo Sexual Abuse Awareness Week. We're joined in the studio by Jacqueline Gauthier, who is a therapist with NARCIF programs and a spokesperson for Nanaimo's Sexual Abuse Resource Committee.
Welcome, Jacqueline.
Hello.
Why is it important to bring the level of awareness up around the issues of child abuse?
Well, it's one of those subjects that it's crossing a cultural taboo, and it's the one thing that people just do not want to talk about. And when we're not talking about this, and we know the prevalency rates in community, the statistics are rather shocking. For example, under the age of 18, 1 in 3 girls will have an experience of sexual abuse, and for boys, 1 in 6 boys. And, you know, so what we know is that, you know, up to 95% of these youth and children that are experiencing sexual abuse know their perpetrator. There's, you know, there's lots of myths around the experience of the person, the victim, and in order for this very, very serious and prevalent issue to be addressed, we need to be talking about it. We need to break the silence.
Yeah, we were just commenting earlier that we have not in recent history seen or heard anything around this issue either on TV or on radio. So it is, it's obviously an issue that needs to be brought up.
Yes, and, you know, we're so gratified that City Council has, you know, agreed for the proclamation, and it's the, we're very, very happy to be holding this forum next week. I think it's a first in the history of Nanaimo, where we're holding an open forum. The community is invited, and it's free of charge. We're going to be having a video and PowerPoint presentation from the Mary Manning Center, which is the Child Abuse Prevention Center in Victoria. It's a very unique presentation because it was scripted in collaboration and acted and directed by Vancouver Island Youth. So it's a local piece of documentation, which is quite wonderful. We had the opportunity to view it last month at a training, a provincial training on sexual abuse, and it's remarkably well done, educational. We know prevention and education is the key.
Now, child sexual abuse is a criminal offense in Canada. The criminal code clearly identifies those behaviors that are against the law, and the Canada Evidence Act defines the forms of evidence that may be submitted in court. And I've read, Jacqueline, that in recent years, both the criminal code and the Canada Evidence Act have been changed to provide better protection to children. I'm wondering if you could tell us more about the protection of children from the angle of legalities and of the criminal code.
Well, I think that there's part of our awareness, hoping to create more awareness in the community, is that the larger part of the population does not realize that even if we suspect a child of being sexually abused, we have a duty to report. Children, basically, if we think they're being abused, there's no room for you can't waffle on this. If you think something's going on, you actually have a legal right to report it to the authorities. So whether you go to, the victim services, to the RCMP, or you go directly to the ministry, to the social welfare system, you have to report. And that's all about protecting the child.
Now, there are a number of myths associated with child sexual abuse as well. One is that if a child is sexually abused, he or she will immediately come and tell someone, or will disclose immediately after the abuse and provide a detailed account of what has occurred. Tell us more about that.
Well, that is indeed a myth. Children, in fact, the statistics show that only 30% of children ever disclose. So when you think about that, in a community where there's classrooms or any neighborhood full of children, there are a huge proportion that are silently carrying the burden of sexual abuse. They do not disclose. And there's lots of reasons why they don't disclose. Often, many of them have been threatened that if they disclose, something terrible will happen to them or their family. Sometimes they're so shamed by it, they don't want to talk about it. Sometimes they tell, and as was in that clip so poignantly pointed out, they are not believed, which does something really terrible to our self-esteem and to our trust in people and authority around us. So imagine if you have to go, he said seven different people to be believed, you're probably going to give up.
You're listening to People First Radio. November 16th to 21st is Nanaimo Sexual Abuse Awareness Week. We're joined in the studio by therapist Jacqueline Gauthier. On Wednesday, November 18th, a community forum concerning child sexual abuse called From Silence to Action will be held at Vancouver Island University's Malaspina Theater in Nanaimo starting at 6:30 p.m.
You know, I think the biggest thing is that we need to believe the pain and the craziness. For me, I couldn't explain. Somebody would ask me how I was feeling, and I felt so crazy inside that I couldn't even put a finger on it, right? So you just and then you just get more frustrated. And it was like, you get that crazy feeling inside you can't explain. See, it's easy to look at somebody with a broken leg and just... It's not the physical stuff. That stuff, it's the mental stuff and the shame and the guilt and all that invisible pain and that invisible hurt. And that is what you're left with, and that is what kills you. A broken leg is not going to kill you.
Jacqueline, what are some of the long-term effects experienced by people who have experienced sexual abuse?
Well, our research has shown that there is definitely a propensity for psychological disorders to develop. It's not unusual to see depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, obsessive-compulsive behaviors such as eating disorders show up. Addictions. We often see people move into addictions after they've been sexually abused. It's another way of numbing out. There is research statistics to prove that there is a propensity for people to go into prostitution, other sexual acting out behaviors.
Mm-hmm. I know personally from having spoken to many people who experience addiction and are on the streets with it, that they all have experienced sexual abuse in some form or another.
Yeah. It's not unusual for people to, you know, and the longer that they hold the silence, you know, the more that it has an opportunity to work on the psychological system of the person, the emotional levels of the person.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just feeling isolated in it.
Absolutely.
As if you were the only one who had had this experience.
Now, Jacqueline, you mentioned excessive drug and alcohol use and also prostitution. These are adult behaviors. Mm-hmm. Are there any particular behaviors that younger children might exhibit that, let's say, aren't involving drug use or alcohol use?
Well, absolutely. In fact, children, especially the younger children, they rarely tell us in words. They won't come out with a straight disclosure. They show you with their bodies. They show you with their actions. It's not unusual for a child who's been sexually abused to become quite anxious, to start having bedwetting experiences, to start having night terrors, nightmares. They may get particularly clingy around adults. They might start saying things like, "I don't want to go to so-and-so's house anymore." They won't say why, but they just don't want to go there. They may be more cranky. They may isolate. You'll see mood changes showing up for sure. The isolation is one of them.
Remind us again of the statistics you mentioned earlier.
The latest statistics in the Bagley report said that 1 in 3 children, 1 in 3 girls under mm-hmm. the age of 18, and 1 in 6 boys.
Okay.
And, you know, there's another myth. There's a myth out there that, you know, it's usually teenage girls that are sexually abused. The median age for sexual abuse is 9 years old. Mm-hmm. Generally, mm-hmm. the spectrum of ages that we see at NARCIF programs is 4 to 11 years old.
Mm-hmm. That means, of course, given that level of impact in the community, that in any classroom or neighborhood full of children, there are children who are silently bearing the burden of sexual abuse. We're speaking with Jacqueline Gauthier, who's a therapist with NARCIF programs, a spokesperson for a local coalition called the Sexual Abuse Resource Committee.
Jacqueline, how and when should an adult who suspects that a child may be sexually abused contact the authorities about their concerns?
Well, the when is immediately, as soon as you suspect it, that's the time to go to one of the primary response sources. So, for example, that would be the Ministry of Children and Family Development, or the Children's Helpline, or the RCMP, or the Nanaimo Crisis Line, or the Victim Link, or the RCMP Victim Services. You might also go directly to Nanaimo Regional General Hospital. There is a SANE program there, S-A-N-E. It stands for the Sexual Abuse Nurse Examiner Program. You could also go to Haven Society and to the Crisis Counseling Clinic. You could also go to Aboriginal Child and Youth Mental Health or Child and Youth Mental Health. So there's lots of resources for the first response.
We have just a moment left, Jacqueline. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today.
Well, I guess if I could leave with one message. We know that the key here to reducing the incidence of child sexual abuse is prevention. And how do we do that? We need to talk about it. We need to be out there in the community. We need to be having dialogue. We need to break the silence. We need to be attending forums like we're hosting on next Wednesday. We need to be discussing with other people their experiences. We need to be requesting more information and coming to to agencies such as ourselves and other agencies that are out there that have educational information available. And we need to be thinking about ourselves as stewards of our children.
That's a good note to end on, stewards of our children. It, as they say, it takes a community to raise a child, so we all have a responsibility.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in today. Jacqueline Gauthier is a therapist with NARCIF Programs and a spokesperson for Nanaimo Sexual Abuse Resource Committee. Child sexual abuse is a serious problem within our society, and it occurs more frequently than people realize. It is important to understand what child sexual abuse is and to recognize behavior that may signal a child in distress. Adults have a responsibility to protect children from sexual abuse. To learn more about this problem and what to do about it, contact the Canadian Centre for Child Protection at www.protectchildren.ca. We'd also like to acknowledge the assistance of www.mindyourmind.ca, an award-winning website for youth by youth. This is a place where you can get information, resources, and the tools to help you manage stress, crisis, and mental health problems. That's at www.mindyourmind.ca. And we close out this segment with more from that interview with Sheldon Kennedy.
If, you know, now that I know now that if somebody tells me something that's going on, it's important for me to follow that up and to, to take it to the right authorities that in that community, just to find out if it's right or not, because I have to believe that these kids are, and us as adults, it's the law. If we see children being mistreated, it's the law for us to report that. And you know what? And we just keep turning blind eyes. You know what? We, as adults, it's our job to protect our children, right? But you know what? You see leaders in communities time and time again just turning their heads like, nothing happened here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And until they get slapped with a $100 million lawsuit and have to pay it, then they'll never make change. But that's the sad part. And then we want to get to the point where it's, get to the prevention side where, we can start being proactive instead of waiting for that to happen.
People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Centre Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM, CHLY.ca, community radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of these organizations.